Of course, the late Victorian period was one that saw an emergence of humanitarian principle and action previously unequalled. Humanity towards pets, children, slaves, even the working man became the order of the day, though, even so, the canal folk in the 1870s still found themselves uncared for by the government legislation that had brought some light to bear upon the dark places of industrial Britain. When their champion did arrive, his crown was clearly in dispute amongst the boat people themselves, and amongst his educated peers, many of whom found his self-righteous style rather abrasive. But George Smith of Colville, as he liked to be known, numbered amongst his supporters reformers like Shaftesbury and Edwin Hodder. Smith was certainly a remarkable man. For 13 years, the middle years of his life when he had a wife and children to support, he lived on handouts whilst battling for recognition of and improvement to the conditions under which the canal women and children were forced to live. His entire life after his mid-20s was dedicated to this and similar causes. He achieved positive success in terms of petitioning for government legislation on behalf of the canal people with bills in 1877 and 1884. The second bill was intended to repair the holes in the earlier bill, but its effectiveness was questionable, and some observers felt that Smith, through this legislation, had simply made it impossible for the canal people to earn any kind of living from the canals. His bills promoted such basic observances as...
A. The boat shall contain a cabin or cabins, clean, in good repair, and so constructed as to be capable of being maintained at all times, weatherproof, dry, and clean. B. The interior of any after cabin, intended to be used as a dwelling, shall contain not less than 180 cubic feet of free airspace. A cabin occupied as a sleeping place by a husband and wife shall not at any time, while in such occupation, be occupied as a sleeping place by any other person of the female sex above the age of 12 years, or by any other person of the male sex above the age of 14 years.
And so his bills, dearly bought at the cost of many thousands of miles tramping the canal banks, meeting boat families, letter writing and canvassing, came to their majority. But even after the 1884 bill, it was still difficult to control the movements of the boat people and the activities of their employers. Times were hard enough, and Smith's bill made it even more difficult to contend with the competition of the railways, particularly when the railway companies often had controlling interest in the canals and could manipulate the tolls and fees in order to reduce the economic effectiveness of canal carriage. There were sad occasions also when canals actually closed down, and the final irony might be the fate suffered by the Carlisle Canal navigation.
Notice is hereby given that by virtue of the provisions of the Port of Carlisle Dock and Railway Act, 1853, the above navigation will be closed on and after the first day of August next, when the water will be run out of the canal for the purpose of converting it into a railway, by order of the Committee of the Carlisle Canal Company, July the 14th, 1853.
The same forces that brought great commercial changes also had an effect on the social activities of the boatmen. Until the early 19th century, they, along with other workers and in some cases the gentry, had enjoyed the general festivities and sports current in the age: cockfighting, bull baiting, boxing, wrestling, and so on, which took place as part of the wakes as well as individual entertainments. The wakes were once watch services of dedication to departed souls, when the people kept a night vigil in the churchyards to protect the souls from evil. These services gradually degenerated into social festivities, and the entertainers and prostitutes brought their small commerce to the churchyards. These occasions were eventually banished to the marketplaces, where they became the Wakes Week, a week of festivities and entertainments taken without pay, a means of interrupting the weary grind of the industrial round. The boatmen shared in such activities and danced to the pipes and drums along with their fellow workers.
Well, come and gather round and hear me song. My own fiddle won't prove dull. Of cocks and bulls and surly bears, our wakes will soon be full. Fifes, fiddles, pipes and organs too, drums and banners bright. To our town field and we'll repair to keep the wakes all night. With a flaming gin and sparkling wine, bloody porter too, and frothy ale to help us drink the old wakes we go through. wrestle, a box and run. Such sport and play will mark the day from a rise to set of a sun. The dogs will drink, the steaks will drive, the cocks will shot, will come. And the girls of ease, the wakes won't leave, but every man is gone. Hey! Oh, we'll drink and swear and fight and brawl and reel back to our homes. With empty pockets aching heads, a sign the wakes are on. Success unto the English wakes, whatever they may be. To the steel port cocks and baited bulls that stir up mirth and glee.
With enlightened social thinking, the crude sports and events of the wakes were made illegal, and the boatmen found their entertainment centering on the public house. Beer was still cheap, company free, and the forces of law and order relatively distant. Dominoes, cards, chat and sing-song became the order of the day, though the canal boatmen's preoccupation with music hall songs indicates that trips to the halls were not uncommon. So perhaps it is fitting to end with one of the boatmen's special favourites, popular at a time when, though trade was going through a difficult period, the boat folk had not conceived that it might be the beginning of the end.
Keep your hands off, that's mine. Keep your hands off, that's mine. You just be careful what you do. That little bit of fancy work, it doesn't belong to you. She's a nice girl, I know, and she squeezes absolutely fine. You can do just what you want with any other fella's wife, but keep your hands off, that's mine. Percy lost his heart and married Mabel. He took a trip to the dear old Isle of Wight, spooning anywhere, couples over there, going through a tunnel late at night. Oh, Mabel started giggling in the moonlight. Oh, Percy, do stop kissing me, said she. Percy shouted out, will someone strike a light? There's somebody kissing the wife instead of me. Keep your hands off, that's mine. Keep your hands off, that's mine. You just be careful what you do. That little bit of fancy work, she doesn't belong to you. She's a nice girl, I know, and she squeezes absolutely fine. You can do just what you want with any other fella's wife, but keep your hands off, that's mine.
The boom years for the canals stretched from the mid-18th century, when songs like the Birmingham Lads were heard frequently, to the mid-19th century, when new canal openings were virtually unknown. After 1850 or so, competition from the railways increased rapidly, and railway ownership or part ownership of canal company shares made it possible for the railways to obtain an unfair advantage over their rivals in the matter of discouraging canal traffic by keeping toll levels high, particularly in the important area around Birmingham. By the same token, the management of railway companies had some say in the amount of renewal and repair work carried out on the canals, as the following extract from the 1909 Government Commission report into the canals shows. This rundown was continuous and effective.
Few improvements and no large extensions of inland waterways, always excepting the Manchester Ship Canal, have been made since 1830. And on the other hand, there have been many deteriorations and even disappearance of canals which once existed. On a few waterways or sections of waterways, favoured by special conditions, combined in two or three cases with enterprising management, traffic has been maintained and even increased. On other waterways it has declined, on some it has virtually disappeared. Considered as a whole, the waterways have no share in the enormous increase of internal transport business which has taken place between the middle of the 19th century and the present time.
The Manchester Ship Canal was, of course, a massive and special exception to the general trend, and its completion in 1894 greatly aided the prosperity of Manchester. The following song probably dates from the 1820s. It was sung by a Mr. Hammond at the Theatre Royal Manchester and reflects the missed opportunities and possibilities that a Manchester ship canal would have brought at that date.
Oh, I sing a theme deserving praise, a theme of great renown, sir. The ship canal in Manchester, that rich and trading town, sir. I mean to say it once was rich, ere these bad times came on, sir. But good times will come back, you know, when these bad times are gone, sir. When are these bad times are gone? In 1825, we were speculating all, sir. We wise folks clubbed together and we made the ship canal, sir. I should have said we meant to do, for we'd the scheme laid down, sir, that would have made this Manchester a first-rate seaport town, sir. A first-rate seaport town. Oh, alas, too, for poor Liverpool, she'd surely go to pot, sir. For want of a trade, her folks would starve, her custom house would rot, sir. I'm wrong, they'd not exactly starve, or want for it is true, sir. They might come down to Manchester, we'd find them work to do, sir. We'd find them work to do. Success then unto Manchester, and joking all aside, sir, her trade will flourish as before, and be her country's pride, sir. That is to say, if speculation can be but kept down, sir, and sure we've had enough of that, at least within this town, sir, at least within this town.
The decline in canal carrying continued in marked fashion during the 20th century, but the last great blow to the commercial life of the canals resulted from natural causes. As a result of the incredibly severe weather in January and February of 1963, the remaining fleet of commercial narrowboats was brought to a standstill by heavy icing of the canals. The resulting loss of traffic proved decisive, and at the present time there is very little commercial carrying on the wide network of narrow canals. Much of the lore and song of the boat folk, developed over a period of 200 years or more, has been lost since those who were interested in the boat people were not specifically concerned with recording folk life. But fortunately, writers like L.T.C. Rolt, a recognised expert on canal matters, spent a great deal of time with the canal folk and have made valuable comments on this aspect of their lives.
I recall one memorable evening at a canal pub. It consisted mainly of boatmen and gypsies. It was not long before there was a call for the music, and a melodeon, which most boatmen favoured, was produced. Though none of those present could read a note of music, each of the boatmen took his turn as musician. Each of them, one over 70, performed a step dance, footing it with remarkable agility and sense of rhythm in their heavy hobnailed boots. I may be fated to see the last of the old race of canal boatmen. The traditions, the language, and the stories of the boat people could inevitably die with them. Even if they could be fully recorded, the record could be but a pale shadow of the original.
Since the mid-60s, the government has shown some interest in the state of our canals, and the canals, now the green fingers of the countryside instead of the arteries of industry, have taken on a new lease of life by providing escape routes for industrial workers who no longer wish to run the gauntlet of the holiday traffic jams. Messing about in boats is fast becoming a national pastime. Thus, government comment in a white paper published in 1967 takes on a generally optimistic note regarding the future of the canals.
Pleasure cruising on inland waterways and rivers is no longer a pastime within reach only of the well-to-do. The government welcomes this and believes that in the next few years, more and more people will want to use and be able to afford to use the waterways for spare time relaxation and quiet holidays. Therefore, the government intend, at the outset, to retain for pleasure cruising substantially the existing network available for this purpose. It is thus the government's intention that for the first time, this recreational purpose of the nationalised waterways should be recognised by public act of Parliament. The government is keen to encourage volunteer effort to develop the amenity network of waterways.
Hence, the government recognised the importance of the various volunteer societies whose brief was to protect and improve the amenity of the waterways. And it is from such bodies that the odd new tradition or song has grown. A good example is the Dudley Tunnel Preservation Society, now the Dudley Tunnel Trust, formed in the early 60s with the express intention of saving the Dudley Tunnel, which had been technically abandoned in 1962. The Trust now runs regular trips through the tunnel, but its main work has been in organising the labour force and conducting the operation of renewal on the tunnel and its basins. In the course of the early years of the society, the members and others composed the song Push Boys Push, which was sung at gatherings and also whilst legging through the tunnel. Since the tunnel has no towpath, propulsion is obtained by lying on the boat's cross members and walking or legging along the roof. The tunnel has a number of interesting features, some of which are mentioned in the song. For example, the castle mill is a quarry basin partway through the tunnel. The cathedral arch is the point at which a tunnel from the limestone workings joins the main channel. The well is an air hole, and the jail is the point at which the tunnel kinks slightly, making it possible for inexpert boatmen to jam their craft.
Oh, we're going through the tunnel, push, boys, push. We're saving this old tunnel, push, boys, push. It's the pride of Dudley Town, and they're trying to close it down. So push, boys, push. Oh, push, boys, push. We'll go through Castle Mill, push, boys, push. Cathedral Arch as well, push, boys, push. There's no more fresh air smell when you pass by the well. So push, boys, push. Ho! Boat's been going through, push, boys, push, since 1792, push, boys, push. It's a crime and it's a shame that we cannot do the same. So push, boys, push, ho, push, boys, push. Don't let your strength to fail, push, boys, push. Cause we're coming to the jail, push, boys, push. We may get stuck inside if the boat it is too wide. So push, boys, push. Ho, push, boys, push.
Aye, and the tunnel's 2 miles long.
Push, boys, push. That's why we sing this song. Push, boys, push. It keeps our spirits high while we cannot see the sky. So push, boys, push. Ho, push, boys, push.
Hi,
and now we're coming tonight. Push, boys.
Don't you see the sky? Push, boys, push. We'll have a celebration. Now we've sung it to the nation. So push, boys, push. Oh, push, boys, push. Yes, push, boys, push. Now push, boys, push. Well, push, boys, push.
At this moment, there seems a probability that the commercial carrying life of the canals may be extended and developed. The current concern for energy conservation has increased this probability. But the canals have other sources of revenue and value to the community. They supply water for industry, for the water undertakings, and for firefighting. They are valuable for surface drainage and treated sewage disposal. The towing paths are useful and economic channels for electricity cables, gas pipes, telephone, and other communicating wires and lines. In addition to these, there are the recreational aspects of the canals. They include angling, canoeing, pleasure cruising, towpath walking, and nature conservation. Apart from these significant aspects of contemporary canal life and usage, the canals are also an important link with the traditions and customs of the past. It is natural that we should, to some extent, romanticize the life of the canal people, since we now see their largely extinct way of life as free and easy. Perhaps the qualities we identify with most in the canal life are embodied in the Rosemary, a song written by Peter Dodds of Birmingham. His enthusiasm and love for the canals is evident from his writing, and the song, which concerns a prematurely retired boatman who discovers an old narrowboat, the Rosemary, and takes her on a working trip to London, embodies this romantic ideal. The Bolinder is a Swedish diesel engine, and the Stour, Umay and Tay are three of the old Clayton line boats. The Stour, incidentally, is now owned by a group of Lancashire folk singers. Undoubtedly a hopeful sign for the future of canals and canal music.
Twas way down in Brummagem, so I do hear say, a boat by the name of the Rosemary lay. She was clothed up and painted in traditional style, but she hadn't a carriage for a very long while. Fal-de-roll-a-fal-de-ride, oh, sing fal-de-roll-a-day. It's a song they're all singing down Brummagem way. Oh, along came a boatsman, the old boat to see. Says he, is a craft that is useful to me. I load her with coal and to London I'll steer. Says the boatsman to the owner, if I take her from here. Fal-de-roll, a fal-de-ride, oh, sing a fal-de-roll a day. It's a song they're all singing down Brummagem way. The owner said yes, and the boatsman okay. Then into the cabin he went straight away. He lit up the stove, cleaned the cobwebs and mould, and polished the beam till it shone like fine gold. Fal-de-roll, a fal-de-ride, oh, sing a fal-de-roll a day. It's a song they're all singing down Brummagem way. He sang and he labored far into the night. Got up in the morning before it was light. Put the rusty blow lamp on the cylinder ahead of. It's a fine day for boating, the old boatsman said it. Fal-de-roll, a fal-de-ride, oh, sing fal-de-roll a day. It's a song they're all singing down Brummagem way. He's primed up the engine, a prayer in his heart. I ain't kicked on the flywheel to see if she'd start. With a bang like the sound of a 10-pounder gun, the aged old Bolinder started to run. Fal-de-roll, a fal-de-ride, oh, sing fal-de-roll a day. It's a song they're all singing down Brummagem way. Oh, he's cast off the fore end of the counter and stood her. As the Rosemary shook herself free of the mud, with a tear in his eye, says the boatsman, we may get right down to Coventry for the end of the day. Folly-roller, folly-ride, oh, sing a folly-roller day. It's a song they're all singing down Bromagen Way. On dark, stormy nights round the fall of the year, if the beat of a ball in the distance you hear, it's not Clayton Stour, you may or the Tay, it's the ghost of that boatsman and the old Rosemary. Folly-roller, folly-ride, oh, sing folly-roller-day, it's a song they're all singing down Bromagen Way. Folly-roller, folly-ride, oh, sing a folly-roller-day, it's a song they're all singing down Bromagen Way.